Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When God acts with finality. 1 Kings 18:20-40. 1 Kings 18:20-40. We all know the story. When we get to him, I want us to read it. 1 Kings 18, so that we don't waste much time. It's about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and about what eventually happened on Mount Carmel. All eyes, you know, was set on that Mount Carmel. It was like a competition, you know. And we can liken it to watching election results or counting of election results on TV. You know, several times I've done that. And when the results become very close, you could see the deafening silence in the camp of the candidates as tensions take over their hearts and people praying that the result will skew to their side. If you have been watching election, you will see all those emotions running high, anxiety, everybody shouting. But the moment they realize that they are losing, what happened? There's that deafening silence in the camp. I remember Obama McCain. You know, McCain was very swordsman-like. You know, he came up to deliver the acceptance speech to his people. The whole place was dead silence. Some of them were crying. I also remember Obama, what's the name of this new senator? This senator from Utah that just won the election. He was Massachusetts governor, Mitt Romney. I also remember Mitt Romney, Obama too. Immediately the election was called for Obama, the place become silent, dead silent. All the anxiety went down. You know, if you drop a pin, you can hear. You know, that's that pin dropping to down. So the same thing, in some states in the U.S., for example, automatic recounting is triggered off if the results are too close by certain margin. People begin to openly contest the results and begin to allege malpractices in the opposing camps. If we cut back our mind to 2000 election, the U.S. presidential election between Bush and Al Gore, results were delayed for 5 weeks because the results were so close that even the Supreme Court had to rule to decide the winner. At the end of the day, did you know how many votes that Bush used in winning Al Gore? Just 537 votes as at that time. But when the popular votes eventually came, Al Gore won. But you know, you don't win election on popular votes in America. It's by the Electoral College. You know. And Florida was the contest, it was the state of contention. At the end of the day, only 537 votes was Bush got that edged Al Gore out of the contest. It was very close. So there are elections and there are elections. I want you to know that. So if a candidate wins an election by 75% to 25%, only a fool will ask why. In Nigeria, we call it landslide. Is that also? When the opponent even lost his deposit. Okay? Because the winner has won with such finality that it raises all reasonable doubts. Now, there was a story in the Bible about Korah, Dotham, and Abraham. You remember? Abiram. We see that one in Numbers 16:28-33. Note these passages, please, when you get to them, you can read them. Numbers 16:28-33. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and 250 leaders and representatives of Israel, they challenged Moses regarding his leadership of the congregation. Because they thought, we are going to the promised land. It's not just it over there. Are we wasting time? Has it taken us 40 years? We can get there in less than, in the next 3 months. Why are we staying in this jungle? So they challenged Moses. But God decided to prove to the congregation without any iota of doubt that Moses was his choice. Numbers 16, 23, 28 to 33. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works. For I have not done them of my own will. I have not brought you to this desert on my own will." No. "If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens his mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord." Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened his mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. That will not be your case in the mighty name of Jesus. By the time God finished dealing with the dissidents, no one on earth or in heaven could nurse any doubt regarding God's decision. It was a final judgment. God proved to them that, look, I am the one who has chosen Moses. Now, we can also consider what happened, also happened in 1 Kings chapter 18, the one we were supposed to read, but we didn't read because of the time. So I ask you to read when you get home. Elijah and the prophets of Baal engaged in a contest on Mount Carmel. Elijah challenged the prophets, 450 of them, to pick an item of sacrifice and prepare it, put it on the wood and pray for fire to fall and consume the offering. Baal's prophet chose first, did as Elijah said, prayed, cried for hours, nothing happened. They started to cut their bodies with knives and blood started gushing out in order to make Baal their god happy, but nothing happened. So when everyone was fed up, Elijah took over in the evening, prepared his offering, same type of offering, put it on the altar after he has repaired the altar, asked the people to fetch 4 pots of water and pour it on the offering, and to repeat that twice, essentially pouring about 12 pots of water on the offering, just to make it completely impossible for fire to consume the offering. Then he prayed a simple prayer. 1 Kings verses 38 and 39. 1 Kings 18, 38 and 39. "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." What God did in answering to Elijah's prayer left no one human being in doubt as to who the real God is. And that's why in verse 39, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is what? He is God. The Lord, he is God.'" So God acted with finality to show them that, look, there's no any other God but me. So I've always asked myself each time I read this, why did God go to the extent of making fire to consume stones, lick up all the water? What's the answer? He wanted to prove beyond any reasonable doubt that he is God and that his hand was in this operation. And the implication is this: if God could do this, go to that extent, you must consider your matter, whatever you are going through, a child's play before him. Amen? Amen? Whatever you are going through, you must consider it a child's play before the Lord. God is ready to go to any extent, any length to prove that you are his child. If he can deal so ruthlessly with Dothan, Korah, and Abiram, and with their 250 elders that challenged Moses, if he can deal with 450 prophets, brethren, as from today, you have to be praying for your enemies, because God will do anything to prove that you are his choice. You have to do what? Pray for your enemies. Hold nobody. Pray. And Jesus was very clear about this when he was delivering the Sermon on the Mount. Say, is there anybody who has forced you to go 1 mile? How many miles will you go with him? Huh? 2 miles. Is there anybody who has taken your shirt? Give him your coat as well. Is there any man who is hungry? Your enemy is hungry. What should you do for him? Feed him. Feed him. And by so doing, what are you doing? Ah. Hot coals of fire is what you are heaping on his head. But how many of us do it? Praise the Lord. So when God decides to act with finality on your case, you can be sure that any dissenting voice is playing with what? Fire. Fire. When God decides to bless you, I can assure you, nobody can reverse the blessing. When God says you are there to live, nobody can say you are going to die. It's not possible. That is why, as brethren, we should fear no evil. David said, even if I walk, besides what? The shadows of death. I do what? I fear no evil, for thine is with me. Thy kingdom and thy rod and thy staff. They do what? They comfort me. But the problem with us is that we are carried away by what we see. That is why we pray that prayer. We only carried away by what we see, what we hear, and what we believe, which might not be the final word of God. Remember the final word of God. The thought I have towards you is what? Not to give you what? Yeah, God cannot have a thought of evil about you. So one reason why I'm giving you suggestions to someone and the person tells me that God was leading him or her in a certain direction, I just tell myself, case closed. If I'm giving you suggestions, I say, this is what God told me. Who am I to say that is not what God told you? Keep quiet, and then we move forward. There was this friend of mine, a journalist. As at that time, he was doing masters in mass communication at the University of Lagos. Very good on the instruments. So he was taken as not only director of music, but also director of publication in that church. So he would go to the founder of the church, say, Daddy, let us do this, let us do this, let us do this. From his own young, agile, enthusiasm as a young man to project the church. But the man of God would tell him, God has not told me to go that direction. He said, "What?" I then asked him, then what do you do? He said, what can I do? Once God says yes, who am I to say? When God asks with finality, you cannot do anything. I pray that you will have the grace to bear and to wait upon God in the mighty name of Jesus. When God gives guidance, who are you to suggest otherwise? Which human being can improve on God's leading? Tell me. So as you come here this morning, I pray that God will settle your matter with such finality that even opposing mouth will be permanently shut in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Those who are looking at you and making jest of you, they will be disgraced in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Those who have been contesting against you will see you elevated to a level so high that they will be foolish not to give up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Every struggle in your life shall cease. Amen. And the peace of God shall reign in your life. Amen. You will see God's hands in your matter. Amen. It will erase every doubt in your mind. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. So when God acts with finality, look at those two situations. Nobody can doubt him. The situation on Mount Carmel, or the one that happens in the wilderness with Korah, daughter, Abiram, and 250 elders. They rose against Moses. How long does it take us to get to Canaan? We have the soldiers to fight and drive the people away. But God is saying, no, when you are ready, we go. If you read Joshua chapter 5, I think. Joshua chapter 5. Let me see the exact. God was preparing a psychological war against the people of, what's the name of that city that the war fell? Remember that city that the children of Israel? Jericho. You know, it was a psychological war. They were not to raise any, the war, according to the wall, ancient history said the wall is so thick that even horses are riding on it. Can you imagine? That means the wall can be as thick as the size of this building. So that chariots of horses can go and you see them. That is the thickness of the wall. How do you penetrate such wall if not for God? So God was preparing a psychological war to the extent that when the two spies that were sent by Joshua arrived at, what's the name of that harlot? Rahab. Rahab told them, said, we have heard how God dried up the Red Sea 40 years ago. Those people that God dried up, a whole sea, they are here to take over our city. Get me? He said, the Lord has already given the land to what? To you. It was a psychological war. It could take years. But you don't worry. Rely, relax, and believe that your miracle is on the way. And you will not miss it in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you have come to the presence of God this morning, you will not miss it in the mighty name of Jesus. Brethren, no matter what goes on in your life, every struggle is time limit, has its own time. For example, Jacob, right from the time he was born, God has anointed him as the favorite one. But you will see that all his life he was always running ahead of God until God came into his life and subdued him. Put a hand in his hollow and he couldn't walk properly anymore. And he wrestled with that angel. And God changed his name. Your name is changed this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You are a child of God. Amen. You are not a servant. Jesus told his disciples, say, look, I have called you friends. You are no more a servant. Amen. You know? A servant does not know what his master is doing inside. But I have invited you inside to see. So you are now my children. You are now, It's just very, very easy, For example, at home, how many of our children knock their parents' door before they enter? But the visitor will come and knock. But the children will just rush in and rush out. Yeah, that's why they are children. Praise the Lord. So God is telling us this morning, look, whatever that problem is, forget about it. Believe in me. I will give you peace. And that peace you will get in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God's final word this morning for you is that my peace will go with you. Amen. You know, he told Moses, Because Moses too was afraid at a stage. I will not go until you go. And God assured him, look, my presence will do what? Will go with you. Let's arise this morning. My presence will go with you. I want you to pray this morning. Father, let thy presence abide in me. Talk to God. So that when you are with finality, I will not doubt you. Let thy presence go with me, Lord. The Bible says, before she traveled, that's Isaiah 66, verse 77 to 8. Before she traveled, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who has had such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. Brethren, time controls, regulates, and matures everything under the sun. Every successful venture has a price tag. Pray for your price this morning. Pray for your breakthrough. Receive wisdom that governs life. So that when you act with finality, I know you have acted. Pray for perfect understanding of the timing of your life. Perfect understanding. Brethren, when God is about to do, you have the urge. But Paul was was not controversial over the issue. He said, procrastination will not allow me to do what I need to do. When I want to do good, I find myself doing evil. We heard at the workers' meeting this morning, one of the conditions to fight a good fight, subject our body. I receive wisdom. I receive faith that governs life. Pray for a perfect understanding of the timing of your life. Pray that I have a perfect knowledge of God's plans and purposes for my life. If you have God's plans and purposes for your life, you don't struggle. You will not labor in another man's field. You will have something solid to show for your labor in life. What is the essence of having children? And none of them come out good. No. It shouldn't be like that. You will not labor in vain. You will not labor in vain over your children. In the workplace, you will not labor in vain. At the end, Father, consider me successful. Let the angels welcome me to heaven. I want to make heaven, Lord. I want to make heaven. Let the angels welcome me to heaven, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. I shall not fail. I am not destined to fail. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Brethren, I don't know what you have been talking to God about. The time for your answer is now. Talk to God this morning. The time for your breakthrough is now. I have been coming. Come warmth, come cold. Winter, I am here. Summer, I am here. Spring, I did not go back. Autumn, I am available. Father, open the book of remembrance concerning me today. Open the floodgates of heaven concerning my situation. Let my enemy realize that it will be fruitless for them opposing me. It will be a fruitless effort on their own part opposing me. Commit your health into the hand of the Lord. Father, give me wholesome health. Wholesome. I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, harmonious, loving, happy in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. As our prayer has in the hearts of the Lord, so shall it do for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Every enemy opposing you, the Lord Almighty will frustrate their efforts in the mighty name of Jesus. God of heaven will touch your destiny for better as from today in the name of Jesus. That thing that you have been praying to God about, the time of your answer is this morning, and you will receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you came to the presence of God this morning. Heaven shall be continually open upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. What are those difficult situations? The enemies will realize that they have failed in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Almighty, at the end of the day, whatever will not allow us to make heaven, remove it from us in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that at the end, O Lord, we will see you in glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you because of answer. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.